Good morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Monday, February the 27th, in the year of our Lord, 2023. Collect of the day, Monday after the first Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, coffee. I am drinking a medium roast, what they call a donut house coffee, I think, from Target, with the Starbucks zero calorie caramel macchiato. So my nice zero sugar, but fat from the creamer in it to give a little bit of a full sensation with the caffeine to keep me on the fast. So, we're on question 197 of the catechism. We're almost to 200. We did actually, I don't think I mentioned it, we passed the halfway point a few episodes back. So, not exactly the back nine, if I'm getting my golf references correct, seeing that I don't golf regularly, or haven't in, I don't know how long it's been since I golfed, actually. Never liked the sport much. I always, my favorite joke about it was, it's the perfect combination of walking and swearing. And the rain is coming back down again. I was hoping I would avoid this. Well, bear with me, and I hope it doesn't get bad. Then I might have to stop and record some other time, and you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know. Question 197. On what basis do you ask for forgiveness? I ask God, our loving Father, to forgive me through his Son, Jesus Christ, who bore my sins upon the cross, so that through faith and baptism, I can receive his righteousness. So question 197. On what basis? So what's the building block? What's the undergirding thing that you ask for this forgiveness? I ask God, our loving Father, to forgive me through his Son. So the forgiveness comes from Jesus through, from the Father through Jesus, who bore my sins upon the cross. So there's the forgiveness aspect, which is the redemption from sins because they're on the cross, so that through faith and baptism, so there's faith and the mystery of faith, and then baptism, I can receive his righteousness. So it's not my own righteousness, it's imputed, it's given to me, God gave it to me. Not everybody likes the word imputed, but I mean, that's kind of a good way to say you received his righteousness. It's not your own, you didn't earn it, it's given. So let's go through the scriptural references. Isaiah 53:4-12. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will provide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. The next is from Daniel chapter 9, verses 16 to 19. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy hill. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. The next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The next is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then also from later on in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 38 to 39. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything which you cannot be freed by the law of Moses. The next is from the letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And the final scriptural reference is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 to 26. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law has been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, question 197. On what basis do you ask for forgiveness? There is only one. As all these scriptural references have made quite clear, I ask God, our Father, our loving Father, to forgive me through his Son, Jesus Christ, who bore my sins upon the cross, so that through faith and baptism I can receive this, his righteousness, the righteousness of God. I do love that this is coming around for the season of Lent. So we're in Lent. You observe a Lent. It's not say, you know, celebrate. You don't celebrate Lent. You observe Lent. So a period of fasting. I'm not sure if I talked about that in the last episode. I was intending on recording something much sooner, and then one of the other supervisors in our management group is off again and kind of threw everything in a tizzy. I don't remember if I talked about Lent specifically in the last episode. You know what? I'm going to pull up Lent and just give a quick rundown. So I'm going to use the Concerning Ash Wednesday from the 2019 BCP as sort of a description, because Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent. So here's from the BCP. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of the season of Lent, a time of penitence, fasting, and prayer in preparation for the great feast of the resurrection. The season of Lent began in the early days of the church as a time of preparation for those seeking to be baptized at the Easter Vigil. The 40 days refer to our Lord's time of fasting in the wilderness, and since Sundays are never fast days, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the Lenten fast. Throughout the Old Testament, ashes are used as a sign of sorrow and repentance, and Christians have traditionally used ashes to indicate sorrow for our own sin and as a reminder that the wages of sin is death. Like Adam and Eve, we have disobeyed and rebelled against God and are under the same judgment. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. But as we are marked with ashes in the same manner that we are signed with the cross in baptism, we are also reminded of the life we share in Jesus Christ, the second Adam. It is in this sure hope that we begin the journey of these 40 days, that by hearing and answering our Savior's call to repent, we may enter fully into the joyful celebration of his resurrection. So, again, perfectly, sort of perfectly dovetailing into talking about forgiveness during this Lenten time. So, forgiveness. And we all need to do a lot of forgiving. Some of us, you'll hear the phrase, you know, forgive yourself. And that's not quite true. It's sort of truth-y. You don't forgive yourself. God forgives you. What you have to do is find the healing that you need in Christ to, and I'm partly preaching to myself on this one. No, not partly, probably a lot. The need for healing from the wounds those sins caused yourself. So you're not forgiving yourself. You're working on finding in God's word, especially Proverbs. I mean, there's just so much to learn in Proverbs and the Psalms about right living, to relearn how you should be living, right? To kill off the dead works of your life and to start working on good works, which is, I know we're, oh boy, slopping over into good works discussion. I mean, raising your children right, being a good husband in my particular case, being a good father at this point, you know, my kids are grown, but, you know, working to establish those proper relationships in the way that God ordained them to function. Those are good works, right? Raising your family right is a good work. Doing your job in a good and ethical manner, that those are good works. Now, giving to the poor, those are also good things, but doing the things that are normal of your life are also good works. And I don't think we should forget that. Martin Luther talked about feeding the hungry and referring basically to a family taking care of their children. It's like, you're doing that, you're feeding the hungry, and when you take care of your family, you're doing those things. So it's not just about others outside of your sphere of influence, but should start within the sphere of your influence. So this time of penitence and you know, I think one of the great things I understood about fasting was that typically what would the person who was fasting would take the money that they would have used to buy food for that day and gave it to the poor. So you're not just fasting, but the money that you would have used to eat is given to the poor. So it's not just in the fasting, but in the giving, the almsgiving. Okay, I'm starting to go way too far afield of something I didn't necessarily prep for, which is dangerous because my brain just sort of starts to go down rabbit holes and I'm not necessarily connecting it back to the main point because I haven't written it down to keep me back. So let's go back to what I had actually sort of prepped for this, and we're going to look at Cyril of Alexandria. So here's Cyril. He's commenting on the section in Luke, the parable of the righteous, the two men, excuse me, not the righteous, the parable of the two men who went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Here's Cyril of Jerusalem. What profit is there in fasting twice in the week if it serves only as a pretext for ignorance and vanity and makes you proud, haughty, selfish? You tithe your possessions and boast about it, In another way, you provoke God's anger by condemning and accusing other people because of this. You are puffed up, although not crowned by the divine decree for righteousness. On the contrary, you heap praises on yourself. You say, he says, I am not as the rest of humankind. Moderate yourself, O Pharisee. Put a door and lock on your tongue. You speak to God who knows all things. Wait for the decree of the judge. No one who is skilled in wrestling ever crowns himself. No one also receives the crown from himself, but waits for the summons of the referee. Lower your pride, because arrogance is accursed and hated by God. It is foreign to the mind that fears God. Christ even said, "Do not judge, and you shall not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned." One of his disciples also said, "There is one lawgiver and judge. Why then do you judge your neighbor?" No one who is in good health ridicules one who is sick for being laid up and bedridden. He is rather afraid, for perhaps he may become the victim of similar sufferings. A person in battle, because another has fallen, does not praise himself for having escaped from misfortune. The weakness of others is not a suitable subject for praise for those who are in health. It says that the tax collector stood afar off, not even venturing to raise his eyes. You see him abstaining from all boldness of speech. He seems devoid of the right to speak and beaten down by the scorn of conscience. He was afraid that God would see him, since he had been careless in keeping his laws and had led an unchaste and uncontrolled life. You also see that he accuses his own depravity by his external manner. The foolish Pharisee stood there bold and broad, lifting up his eyes without a qualm, bearing witness of himself and boastful. The other feels shame for his conduct. He is afraid of his judge. He beats his breast. He confesses his offenses. He shows his illness as to the physician. He shows his illness as to the physician, and he prays that he will have mercy. What is the result? Let us hear what the judge says. He says, "This man went down to his house justified rather than the other." Here ends the reading. This is from his commentary on Luke homily. I think a quick way to summarize that one is consider the judge, right? If you're going to stand and confess your sins, you need to know what judge you're standing before. And in this case, we're standing before a judge who knows everything. Past, present, future, can read the thoughts of our minds, the intentions of our wills. Consider the source, right? Consider who you are approaching. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? So know that our God is all powerful and that you need to ask his forgiveness, but also that it is good for you. I ask God, our loving Father. He's not a cold and distant Father. He actually wishes us to be better, to cure us, to be the great physician, right? He desires our best. We think we know what's best. If you've had small children, you know they think they know what the best is for them too, which is about three bowls of ice cream and other things like trying to stick a fork in an electrical outlet. You know, they do dumb things. Not because they're intentionally trying to do dumb things, but because they're children and they don't know any better. You have to teach them. And this is what our loving Father is doing to us, is you don't know what's bad for you. Let me tell you what's bad for you. So our loving Father, I ask our loving Father to forgive me through his Son. So the salvation, again, through Christ, who bore my sins upon the cross, so that through faith and baptism, I can receive his righteousness. Let's see, and I think I have too many quotes, actually, from the church fathers. So I'm scripting too far ahead there. Oops. Jump to the next episode. It's like that quote doesn't match. So here's one last commentary. Got some time from John Chrysostom on Romans. For if because of one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man. So here's John Chrysostom. Paul speaks of an abundance of grace to show that we have received not just a medicine sufficient to heal the wound of sin, but also health and beauty and honor and glory and dignity far transcending our natural state. Each of these in itself would have been enough to do away with death. But when they are all put together in one, there is not a trace of death left, nor can any shadow of it be seen, so entirely has it been done away with. Here ends the reading. So know in Christ that your forgiveness is complete. Root, branches, the whole bit ripped out. Okay? Just absolutely no shadow of it remains. So I want to thank you for listening. Feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. There's a link in the podcast notes if you'd like to support. You can either give a one-time contribution or sign up for a regular yearly payment of, I think I said it at like $20 or something, if you want to do that. So far it's a pretty low cost production, but my hope is to cover some of these costs and maybe do a little more. It'd be nice to actually set this podcast up on a more secure platform, a platform better suited for long-term podcast storage rather than the way I have it currently set up, which was, really just an how do you get a podcast going when you've never podcasted before and you just kind of piece it together, not having, the company wants you to do and they've got this amount of money. I was doing it myself. So I hope you're enjoying it. Again, feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. If you're listening on iTunes, wouldn't love a review on there. I think I only have one review still. And just a few likes, a few star ratings. So if you can get in there, that could help. Share on social media, that would be fantastic. And as I've said before, if you think you can do this better, please do. I think we need to make catechesis normative, normal, completely unextraordinary. And people ask, people didn't used to do this all the time before. So again, thank you for listening. Let me close it out in prayer. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning. Drive far from us all wrong desires, incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.